Never preached in a gazebo before. How do I look, Jody? That's perfect. Yeah. Who said that? No glare. No respect. No respect. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Beginning in verse 1. Now, Isaiah was a prophet of the Lord, and he is recording here words from God. Let's pick it up in verse 1. But now, this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we continue the series, the sermon series, Truth Matters. These are the questions that you guys have submitted to me. And today's question, why am I paralyzed by fear? Why am I paralyzed by fear? I want to read to you just a couple of sentences here of the question that I received. I just recently lost my spouse. I am struggling with going forward in life instead of being content to live with the memories of the past. My fear of reaching out and embracing the future is paralyzing. Help. You ever been there? You ever been there, this fear of what the future might hold? The Bible, as I began to research this sermon, the Bible has literally hundreds of references to the word fear. Now, there's really basically two things that the basic message of God's word is about fear is, number one is that we should fear God. And we're going to talk a little bit about what that means, but also, the Bible tells us that we are not to fear man. We're not to fear the future. We're not to fear anything except God Himself. And I want us to understand that this fear of God is not this fear where we're afraid to approach Him, because through Christ it says in God's Word that we can boldly approach the throne of God through the blood of Christ. But this respect and this reverence and this understanding of who God is, that we are to fear God. Now, this is a lot different than a fear I grew up with, and it always originated from this sentence from my mom: "Wait till your father gets home." That's a whole different kind of fear. Anybody else, mom ever said that? Yeah, a few of you. My dad never spanked me, Ed. No, really, he did. He wore me out on many occasions. Dad's here today, didn't you, Dad? Yes, he did. He wore me out. We had this dog named Frankie. And when Dad or Mom, either one, when they would spank me or Jay, Frankie would just be all over them. I mean, that's it just, you know, just thought he was going to take their leg off. And I always loved Frankie for that. Well, I want to tell you another thing that came up is being Father's Day. This may have reminded me of this, but when our girls were real little, my folks lived in Victoria, and we let the girls go down and stay a week or two with my folks, and I had this way of I would tell the girls bedtime stories, and I would tell these stories. They were really innocent. The girls were little bitty, you know, and I would tell these stories, and I would say, y'all want to hear a scary story? And they would, yeah, tell us a scary story, Dad. And the scary story would go something like this. It's like, it was pitch black, and there was this big, spooky tree, and the wind was blowing through the spooky tree, and the limbs were creaking. That was the kind of scary story I would tell. But you had to say it with enthusiasm. Well, Dad didn't understand that concept of scary stories. So when the girls were staying there, he was tucking them into bed, and they said, Grandpa, tell us a scary story. And he's like, scary story? Well, you know, they were little bitty things. And so he started off, you know, this kind of a scary story where maybe somebody got hurt or injured or something. That's not scary, Grandpa. Tell us a really scary story. And before it was over with, heads were rolling across the lawn, and he thought, good night, what are you telling these girls? Because no matter how gruesome he made it, it was never scary enough because he didn't say it with the same emphasis and enthusiasm. That's also not the kind of fear that I'm talking about, the kind of scary. God's Word tells us, the psalmist tells us in verse 27, in chapters 27 of the Psalms, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? You know, let's just go right in. We're gonna talk some about this passage, Isaiah 43, today. We're gonna talk about what God is trying to tell us about fear. And the first thing is, the Lord created you. Whom shall you fear? The Lord created you. He is the creator. He cast the stars into the sky. The more people, we think that as Christians, we think science is our enemies. Like, oh, well, if we get too much into science, it's going to disprove God. That's baloney. The more we learn about science, the more we learn about how the planets are spun on the finger of God. We understand as DNA and all of these scientific advancements come along, we understand the complexity of who we are and who our world is. I mean, how our world is made. And we understand that this could not have happened without an intelligent and loving creator. So we don't have to fear that. God created you. Whom shall you fear? If you bow down and worship God, the Creator, whom shall you fear? Look at the first thing that Isaiah records there. But now, this is what the Lord says. He created you, O Jacob. He formed you, O Israel. Whom shall you fear? He is the Creator. The second thing this passage tells us today, the Lord redeemed you and called you by name. Whom shall you fear? Look at the second half of this verse, in verse 1. This is what the Lord says, fear not. Why? For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. The Creator of all that there is has created you, and He has claimed you, and He has called you His own. He has called you by name. Whom shall you fear? I love this passage out of Romans. In Romans 8 it says, For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. There's this intimacy to that term, this daddy, this familiarity, this personal intimacy. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. The Lord has redeemed you. He has called you by name. Whom shall you fear? The third thing that God is telling us in this passage in Isaiah, the Lord walks with you through every circumstance. Whom shall you fear? Listen to these verses. This is what the Lord says, fear not. For when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Whom shall you fear? One of probably our most well-known psalm, Psalm 23, in the fourth verse it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, you comfort me. You see, he has called us by name, and even death itself should hold no fear for us. Even death itself. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because he is with us. The fourth thing this passage tells us, the Lord is holy and he is your Savior. Aren't you glad you have a holy God? Now, the problem with a holy God is that in order for us to have relationship with him, we must be made holy. Because since he is holy, he cannot have relationship with anyone substandard to that holiness. Do we understand that? I hear it all the time. It is the most common mistake among Christians. If we're good enough, you know, it's about being good enough. I hear it, you see it all the time. You hear it all the time. Oh, so-and-so's in heaven. Boy, he was a great guy. Really? How great was he? How great was he? What is the level of greatness that we need to achieve? How many people do we need to help? And how many hungry do we need to feed? And how many $5 bills do we need to give to the homeless man as we pass by? How much of that raises us to the level of holiness so that we can have relationship with God? And the answer is none of it. Only through the blood of Christ are we redeemed and made right. The Lord is holy, and yet he is our Savior. Listen to this verse 3. It says, this is what the Lord says, fear not, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I am holy, and I am your Savior. Whom shall you fear? And the fifth thing this passage tells us out of Isaiah, I want everybody to take their finger, take your right index finger, and point right here. You are precious and loved by the Lord. Whom shall you fear? You see, what I was just talking about, this idea that we must somehow measure up, that we must somehow be good. That's not letting us off the hook, because there is a response to the grace that we receive through Christ. He expects us to strive for the same holiness that he has bestowed upon us. I like this way to look at it. He expects us to become what we already are. He expects us to strive to be holy because He is holy. But you see, in His eyes, He has already made us holy. You are precious and loved, irregardless of your past. Irregardless if you had a loving father or you didn't, or if you ever knew your father or you didn't. Irregardless if you've led a squeaky clean life or you've led a very sinful life. You are precious and loved by the Lord. Whom shall you fear? Listen to the passage. But now this is what the Lord says. Fear not, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you. Fear not. I was thinking this week, I really wanted, I mean, it's easy, you know, the opposite of fear. Does anybody know what the opposite of fear is? Faith. And it's easy for me to stand up here and say, don't fear, just have faith. I mean, that's easy. But what does that mean, Pastor? What does that mean? How do I do that? And really, I believe the Lord spoke to my heart about this. And I'm going to read this sentence I wrote here. When we are paralyzed by fear, it is an indication of areas in our lives we have not surrendered our wound to Christ. If we're fearful of anything, it's an area in our life that we need to press into God. We need to press in to the relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. Because you see, in 1 John chapter 4, it says that God is love. And that if we're in Christ, then we're in that love. We're part of that. We share in that. And it says perfect love. Now listen to this. This is important. Perfect love drives out fear. The closer, the more intimate we are with Christ, the more we allow things to be surrendered in our lives to Him, our woundedness, the closer and more intimate we become, the less and less we will fear. Does that make sense? Perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love is incompatible with fear. So if we're fearful of something, red flags need to go up, and that should say, I haven't surrendered something, some wound to you, Father. Whatever it is that I'm fearful of, I haven't surrendered that to you. It should be a red flag that says I need to press into God in that regard. Right there. Wherever I'm fearful, that's where I need to press in. When we love God perfectly, as He loves us perfectly, we will not fear. Are you hearing that this morning, church? When we love God perfectly, as He loves us perfectly, we will not fear. Cheryl and this will be news for our parents. we're not close yet, so don't panic. Don't fear. But Cheryl and I have, the girls are grown. We've got them through college, and we've just kind of been praying about. I don't know what the Lord has for us in this regard, but we've been praying about, would the Lord have us to bring someone else into our home to adopt? Scary thing, scary thought. Scares me to death to even speak it. It's so complicated. And we're not talking about a baby. Lord help me, I don't have the strength. We're talking about an older child. But you know, one of the things that we've talked about as we've discussed this is I told Cheryl, I said, every child deserves someone that loves them. Every child deserves that. And that's the one thing we have. We don't have much, but we got love. We love each other. We love God. And if someone came into our home, we would love them. And so we've just been praying about that, and I don't know where that's going to lead. We'll see what the Lord would do with that. But one of the things that I get emotional thinking about it, one of the things that this has led me to, Cheryl says, I can't look there unless we're going to do this. But there's a website the state has, and it's children that are ready to be adopted. And you can go to this website, and it has their picture, and it has some paragraphs that tells a little bit about the child, and it's very honest. It says it's a great child, but they have these needs and these issues and so forth. And I've been reading some of those children, and I've just been praying that the Lord would show me His heart for us, our family. And I want to share with you quickly four of these children that I've run across. The first one is Mary Ann. Now, these are on a public website. I'm not betraying any confidence or anything. They're on the Internet. Anybody in the world can see them. Mary Ann has a bright smile that lights up her whole face. These are the words on the website. She is a bright and enjoyable child who will sit and talk for long periods of time. She desperately wants a forever family who will treat her like she is part of the family and not a foster child. Mary Ann will thrive in a family that would allow her to bond with them at her own pace. Do you hear? At her own pace. Do you hear the woundedness in Mary Ann? This fear that I just want to belong. I just want somebody to call me their child. And I need time to bond with them. The next one is Victoria. She goes by Tori. Victoria is a very sweet and affectionate child and likes to go by Tori. She feels strongly about church and wants to be involved in some type of church youth group. Imagine that. Faith is important to her. Tori is very excited about the adoption process and finding her forever family. She made the statement that she wants to lay her head down at night and know she will be laying it down in the same place tomorrow. Do you hear the brokenness? Do you hear the woundedness in little Tori? Nicole. Nicole is an active and outgoing child full of life and energy. She loves to run, tumble, and flip at lightning speed. She would fit in well with our church as well. She has a hard time counting on adults and getting close to them. My, why? I wonder why that is. Nicole is a very special little girl who will do well with a family who allows her to get close to them in her own time. Zoe. Zoe is zealous with a zest for life. She's bright, spontaneous, outgoing, and charismatic. Zoe is a very thoughtful person and feels life deeply. She is quick to give love back. Zoe is friendly and outgoing, especially when she feels she is part of the family. Zoe desires to be adopted. She wants to feel secure, loved unconditionally, and accepted. Isn't that our story? Isn't that our story? God says to us, I have created you, I have redeemed you, and I have called you by name. I will walk with you through every circumstance. I am holy, and I am your Savior. And you are precious, and you are loved by me. Whom shall you fear? Whom shall you fear? I want you to listen. I want you to listen to a song. This song is a very powerful song, I think. It shares the heart of God. Go ahead, play it, please.
Ooh. Empty,
fear not, my child. is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Let's pray. Father, we ask your forgiveness for when we fear life, when we fear man, when we fear the future. We thank you that you have created us and you have redeemed us and you've called us your own. I pray this morning for anyone that doesn't understand that they are precious and loved by you. I pray that you would convey that to their heart through the power of your Spirit right now. Pray, Father, that you would help us to love you perfectly as you love us perfectly. We pray now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer. Amen. As we stand and as we close this morning, if you would like to come and pray, if you would like to come and have me pray with you, or would like to talk to me about the church or accepting Christ, any of those things, I am here. Let's stand.
Even though I walk
through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. I will fear no evil.
See a light.
I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you. Still I will praise you. I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. Troubles, but until that day comes, still.
Afraid, I am with you. Now go and tell someone. In Jesus' name, we are dismissed.
I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you. Still I will praise you. See a light that is coming for the heart that holds.